If there is ever a year we needed Advent, this is the year. We hardly know how to describe the year we have lived through. We hesitate to reflect on all the mess around us in 2020. All we know is that nothing seems right. Nothing seems like it used to be. Nothing. We need Advent.
The prophet Isaiah cried out for us, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down to make your name known, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. So tear through the mess, O Lord, and come down to us again. We long to be your people, a people of hope."
We light this first candle as a sign of our hope. Hope that you can meet us, even in the mess of our world. Hope that you still see us, though we feel we are lost in the rubble. Hope that we can count on you forever and always. Let this light be the guide that brings us to Emmanuel once more.
O come, Emmanuel.
On this first Sunday of Advent, we light the candle of hope. Good morning. We begin the season of Advent looking at a text from the prophet Isaiah. And this season of Advent is a four-week season where we prepare ourselves for the coming of Jesus Christ. Now, this season looks different than it ever has before. Traditionally, we would have gathered together last Sunday and done our Hanging of the Greens service. We would have ended our time together singing Deck the Halls, and we would have adorned our sanctuary with greenery. But instead, we worked together in some small groups to create this set, and I say we, not me, because it was mostly Jacob and crew, and we give thanks to all those folks. But 2020 has looked different. It has meant decreased travel. It has meant not being able to see those that we love as often or in the same way that we used to. Instead of seeing each other face to face, we've been looking at each other on screens more than we have ever before. And we are at home for this Christmas season. In the U.S., Christmas time and thoughts of home go together, right? There's famous songs like, "I'll be home for Christmas." And there's no place like home on the holidays, right? We know these two popular songs. There's always Christmas movies that come out that show people coming back home, their extended families going to visit one central location over the holidays. Now, this is one of the darkest times of year, right? It's the shortest time that the sun is out. And so most of our traditions are not focused on being outside, but they're focused on coming in together, whether it be decorating our tree or making Christmas cookies together or hosting open house parties for one another. But this season looks different. We may be making cookies together over a Zoom call. Or we might be decorating our trees alone. But Advent is not just about a regular homecoming, like when we have our kids or our grandkids come home to visit. It's the homecoming of Christ, who came to renew and to redeem us so that heaven and nature might sing together. The scripture of the church uses Advent to focus on the final fulfillment of Jesus. And we circle back to when Jesus first came. As we look at our text for today, the people of Israel are crying out to God. And I don't know about you, but over the past 8 or 9 months, however long we have been in this strange season that I'm sure we will never forget, I've been crying out to God a lot. Yes, I have had the opportunity to see and talk to those that I love and go visit them, but it's been frustrating and difficult. It's been hard to not have big gatherings and to hug the people that I want to hug the most. It's been weird to wear a mask at my grandma's kitchen sink while I wash the Thanksgiving dishes. And so we cry out to God, how long, O God? How long do we have to keep waiting? The people of Israel also cried out to God, and their request had a little more weight behind them, right? Because they wandered around in a desert for 40 years. They lived in slavery and captivity in Egypt, crying out to God to be released. And so the people of God have been crying out for a long time. And so when we come to this request in Isaiah, it shouldn't seem unusual. Because God has come and intervened in the lives of God's people for centuries. God has been performing awesome deeds on behalf of Israel for a long time, right? The plagues on Egypt that forced Pharaoh to let God's people go. The deliverance of Israel at the Red Sea. The manna in the wilderness. The flattened walls at Jericho and David's victory over Goliath. These were all God coming in consistently and intervening and showing up in the lives of God's people. But our text this morning has a little bit of a caveat. We'll read it here in just a second. But when we come to verse 4, I want you to pay attention. Because it says, from ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who works for those who wait for him. Who works for those who wait for him. The season of Advent is a season of waiting. It's a season of longing for the presence of God. And Isaiah promises us that God will show up, but God will work for those who wait. 2020 feels like a big time of waiting. It seems like this season is never going to come to an end. But God calls us to wait in the midst of that. Let's turn now, if you have your Bibles, I would invite you to turn to the prophet Isaiah, which is found in the Old Testament. We're going to be kind of near the end of the book of Isaiah in chapter 64, and I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 9. The prophet says this, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you are angry, and we sinned because you hid yourselves as we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. So there is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father, and we are the clay, and you are our potter, and we all work, and we are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O God, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. This is the word of God for the people of God. When I was preparing for this season, we were talking about what kind of series we wanted to have, and it seemed appropriate to talk about coming home, because we didn't know what this month would look like, but it appears that, like the past 8 or 9 months, we're going to be spending a lot of times in our homes. And so we wanted to take that idea and look at what it means to be home this Christmas, and what it means for God to come into our homes in a new way. And so I found another series that UM Discipleship had put out several years ago called Come Down Home. And the first text in their series was this text from Isaiah. And the folks who put this together, when they were talking about the prophet Isaiah, he says, when we begin our Advent series this year with kind of a difficult passage. And he says that Jackson Henry, the scholar, noted that Isaiah's words read a little bit like a legal document, or even a United Methodist resolution, if you've ever read some of those. And so if we read it like that, it would read like, whereas the Lord would rip open the heavens and descends to make the mountains shudder at your presence, and whereas, as the forest catches fire, as the fire makes a pot boil, and whereas you did terrible things we never expected, and whereas since the beginning of time began and no one ever imagined, and whereas, and so on. So therefore, let it be resolved this. We, your people, ask that you not be too angry with us, O God. We ask that you not keep a permanent record of our wrongdoing. We implore you to keep in mind, please, that we are your people, all of us. Be it resolved that we, your people, ask that you not be too angry with us, O God, that you keep us in mind, we, your people. The season of Advent begins with us acknowledging that in some ways we are estranged from God, right? When you look at the word sin, it means to miss the mark. Jesus came for the purpose of reconciliation because we were disconnected from God. And God wanted to restore us back to the original creation, where God was in the garden, right, with Adam and Eve, and they could call on God at any time and speak to God, and they were fully with God. And we learn in 1 John, right, that Jesus and God were together, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. We are called to be with God, and yet because of sin, we are pulled away. And so the essence of the Holy Scriptures talks about over and over again God's people being apart from God and being reconciled back to God over and over. And in some of these estrangements, God is angry, right? God's pretty ticked off with us. In the first story of the Bible, God gets mad at Adam and Eve, right? Because they do what he told them not to do. We never do this, right? We never do what God tells us not to do. Of course we do. Right? Our prayer of confession reads like this. we have sinned against God and against one another. We have not loved God with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done God's will. We have broken God's law. We have rebelled against God's love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, O God, we pray. We mess up. And according to Isaiah, that makes God a little angry. Advent is this season where we prepare for Christmas. And part of that preparing is recognizing that we mess up. Now, over the past few days, well, a few weeks, I have seen people getting ready for Christmas, right? I don't know what that looks like in your house, but in ours, it means getting an extra wide Christmas tree. I'll have to show you a picture because it's super fat. but we put up Christmas trees. We hang stockings on our mantle. We turn on Christmas music. We hang lights outside of our house or put big inflatable Santa Clauses in our front yard. Whatever it might look like, we get ready for Christmas. But this season isn't just about these joyful times where we make our houses look beautiful. It's truly about looking into our own hearts and repenting and preparing ourselves and waiting for Christ who comes, who came, and who will come again. Christopher Davis is an associate dean of doctoral studies and a professor of preaching at Memphis Theological Seminary. And when he's talking about this text in Isaiah, he tells this story about his son who he took shopping when he was a young boy. I'm sure all of us have memories of either shopping with our parents or taking our own children shopping. And he says this. He says, "When my son Christopher was a boy, I took him to Toys R Us. And he got separated from me." Now, as a parent, this is one of my biggest fears, right? Taking my children shopping and leaving them. One of my best friends, she told me the other day that she had taken her kids shopping in Ross, like she often likes to do. She has an 8-year-old, a 5-year-old, and an infant. And the 5-year-old was pushing the baby in the cart, and she was shopping and had turned a corner. And when she looked back, the 5-year-old and the shopping cart were gone. Because she got distracted, right? Now, she quickly found them, but I think her heart probably sank in that moment. So this happened to this professor at Memphis Theological Seminary. It says, "Christopher was his first child, and his fatherly instincts immediately caused him to panic. And so he said, because I saw the doors, I knew he hadn't escaped, so he went looking down aisle after aisle after aisle. And finally, he found a security guard and asked him if they had surveillance cameras. And of course, the security officer said, yes, of course we do. And he asked if he could come look. And so he went up to the room where the security cameras were, and they were looking at the monitor, and the security guard started to scan the aisles with the camera. And there he saw his son surrounded by toys, right, where he should be happy. But instead, he was crying. He was clearly in a state of panic. He was lost and alone, and he didn't know what to do. So he turns to the guard and he says, "Well, do you have an intercom?" He said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Okay, well, keep the camera on him." And then he got on the intercom and he said, "Christopher." And his son looked around because he recognized his dad's voice. And he said, I said, "Son, stay where you are. It's Daddy. Don't move. I see you even though you can't see me. Stay where you are. I'm coming." Friends, this is the story of Advent. We are like little Christophers. We are lost and afraid. And even if we're surrounded by toys, even if we're surrounded by all the things that we're supposed to love, we feel alone and apart from God. But God is like the dad in this story. God is calling out to us even when we can't see it, even if we can't hear it. God is saying to us, beloved child, wait. I am coming home to you. In these moments when we think that God can't see us, that we can't see God, remember, God always sees you. In this chapter in Isaiah, the children of Israel are a lot like Christopher in the middle of Toys R Us. They cried out for help to someone they could not see. They ask and long for the presence of God. They say, oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. As we think through moments of 2020, we cry out to God. We want the heavens to open up and for the glories of God to appear. Sometimes we might hear God's voice. Sometimes we might not. But God calls us to wait. Over and over and over again in the Hebrew Bible, God's people are told to wait. In Psalm 27, the psalmist says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen the heart of those who wait. In Psalm 37, he says, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait upon the Lord, they will inherit the earth. We are called to wait. And remember that even though we might be stuck at home, God is coming home to be with us. Let's pray. Holy God, I give you thanks for this time to come together, to connect with one another through worship. God, just like the people of Israel, we cry out to you, asking for you to tear open the heavens and be present among us. God, we ask that we would be given the patience to wait, and the hope to know that you are coming. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.